Okay, we are all set.
Okay, gentlemen, we heard our meeting. We'll need a roll call first.
Director Pastor.
Present.
Director Seeger.
Here.
Director Crockett.
Present.
Vice President DeFrimary.
Here.
And President Hobbs.
Here.
Very good. All accounted for.
Okay, public input. Do we have any from the public that wants to say anything tonight? Hearing none, we'll move on to the consent calendar, item 3.
Okay, the item before the board, these are all routine in nature. The one to point out that I want to look at is 3B, our annual review of investment policy. Jenna's done her homework, reviewed our current policy versus regulations, and luckily we don't need to do any changes to stay compliant. So we are just to receive, and that's why we're not updating anything this year. And then the other two items on there are standard facilities acceptances for two projects or two phases of the same project out at Gilbert.
Any questions, gentlemen?
Nope.
Hearing no questions, I hear need a motion for approval.
Move for approval of the consent calendar.
I'll second it.
Roll call vote on everything.
Yeah. Okay, so I have a first by Vice President DeFrimary, a second by Director Crockett. Roll call vote. Director Pastor.
Aye.
Director Seeger. I did not hear you. Director Seeger, if you commented. I can circle back. You might have got bounced out of the call, so I'll circle back to him. Director Crockett.
Come back.
Need an eye vote, Ken.
I'm not understanding you.
We're going through on the consent calendar right now, and I'm doing the roll call vote. Yes. Jack did the first, you did the second, so I just need an affirmative on the roll call vote.
Well, Director Hobbs, aye.
Jack DeFrimary, aye.
Ken, aye.
Hey, yeah, I got kicked out of the program for a second, so I vote aye as well.
Okay, and I already had an aye from Director Pastor, so that is 5-0 on the consent calendar.
Okay. Am I missing it? Dan, is the approval of the regular meeting April?
Yeah, that was all part of that motion. The entire consent calendar, A, B, C, and D, were all that motion.
That included the minutes. I'm sorry. Okay, thank you. Okay, moving on to item 4, authorize the public hearing for the proposed increase of water charges for County Well System M27.
So as many directors know, in the month of May, we bring forward any recommendations for increases on the county well systems. Jen and I and Wayne and Nacho have gone through all the budget items and looking at all the other wells are in pretty good shape as far as having fund balances that are sufficient, except for M27. this location. As noted in the staff report, we've been doing water meter installations. We've had a few service line breaks and needed repairs that, you know, drops the fund balance, total expenditures by $100,000 over a short two-year period. And we found ourselves at the end of fiscal year 18-19 in the negative. We're estimating this year to be slightly in the positive. And we need to keep building that fund balance back up, not just because it's prudent fund balance for well replacement or, you know, any other facilities out there we need to replace or service line. But this location is also experiencing some water quality issues that we're going to need to address in the not too distant future. And this increase is not enough to work on that, the water quality issue at this point, but we definitely can't forego rate increases at this point, seeing that we have other problems we need to address out there. So what you'll see is the fund balance shown in the chart for fiscal year 2021. That does include the 5% proposed rate increase or $14 increase. And again, these are on their property taxes, so that's $301 total for the year, which is significantly lower than customers that are part of our regular distribution system. So that was all the items I wanted to cover, other than for just looking to set the hearing date and send out the Prop 218 notices for it.
I move to approve.
I'll second it, Pastor.
Okay, I got a first by Director Seeger, a second by Director Pastor. Roll call votes. Director Pastor.
Aye.
Director Seeger.
Aye.
Director Crockett.
Aye.
Vice President DeFremery.
Aye.
President Hobbs.
Aye.
Passes 5-0.
Great. Okay, item 5, the facility plan acceptance. Who gets to speak on that tonight?
So I'm just going to do the intro myself, and then we have our usual TDM suspects here. We have Bill Brick and Andrea to a little bit of a walkthrough, take in and answer any questions. So not a lot of data to give you overview, since you received the plan about something and a half ago. I do want to give a shout out to Bill and Andrea for giving it 3 days ahead of time and an additional weekend at IG. So I appreciated that. And I just want to reiterate that we have our roadmap for inspection and final approval of future projects. Each one of these projects, as the growth happens and is inducing and causes these projects to move forward and fruition, will be coming back to you another time in the future. So again, just reiterating, this is kind of our roadmap moving forward, and I will step out of the way and let Bill and Andrea take it as I advance slides for them.
All right, thank you, Dan. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
All right. I guess I'll also say, Dan, it was a little hard for me to hear you for your last minute or so of introduction of the report. I don't know if the other board members were able to hear or want to hear you repeat that again, maybe.
Yeah, I couldn't hear it either.
Okay. Yeah, so what I was referring to was just that we're viewing this plan as a roadmap for all of our kind of future facilities and policy items. It's not a blanket approval of the $92 million worth of projects in here. I think it's very important to differentiate that this is a general plan direction. It is not approving specific projects, and that's why on the recommendation we're referring to it as accept the 2020 facilities plan rather than approve.
Excuse me, Dan. This is Paul. I just want to suggest that if you're not speaking, could you please mute yourself? Because there's like fumbling around that we can hear, and it's distorting what Dan is trying to tell us. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and also one thing I can do is I can try calling in from another line as well, because right now I'm talking through the through the iPad. So let me, if you can just hang on for 30 seconds, let me call in.
Some of the air noise might also be coming off of Scott's line. Oh, it's gone away. Excellent.
Okay, I didn't even get called in yet, so I've got it ready to call in if I need to, but I'll just hold off for right now since we got a clear line. So,
all right.
Yeah, for the third time, hopefully it's clear, and I'll keep this one even shorter because I think some of you heard it, but. Looking at the facilities plan, just as our future roadmap, as far as future facilities that need to come on as future development occurs, we are not approving $92 million worth of projects here. We are looking for an acceptance of the plan, and those specific projects within the plan would come forward to the board as growth and water demands dictate that certain projects move forward. So I just wanted to get that out there, and now it's your turn, Bill.
All right, thank you. All right, well, thank you again, Board, for allowing us to come and present this plan to you again. Again, this is for the 2020 Facilities Plan Update, a document which, when you heard from us a month ago, this was, if I would say, you know, new slides, new information. We're hoping to kind of make tonight's presentation a bit shorter and sweeter for the same items that you saw before. They may ring true to you differently now that you've actually had a chance to take a look at the document and review it for the past week or more. And so, again, I have with me Andrea Lauch, who is our Senior Water Resources Planner in our Concord office. And she's been instrumental in helping pull the plan together with other modeling and assisting staff over more than a year here. A lot of what we worked with was information and data that was collected from the district through 2018. And so that comprises the bulk of the data that went into the plan. Next slide. So again, we'll just be touching on pretty much the same items that we talked about last time for most of this slide presentation, the purpose and the content of the facilities plan. What is in this plan that makes it different, again, than some of the other documents that CDM Smith historically assists in preparing for the district? What are some of the highlights that come out of this plan, which are maybe different than were presented in the last iteration of the plan, which was performed over 15 years ago, almost 15 years ago in 2006. And then what are some of the new infrastructure requirements that were identified in this version of the plan, and what are the next steps in its acceptance? And then down the right-hand corner there were some of the common acronyms that we'll be using throughout some of the slide presentations if you're wondering what those are. And Andrea, I'll let you take over from here.
Thanks. So as we've mentioned before, the facilities plan really serves as a master plan documents to kind of identify the long-term system conditions and needed improvements. And as Bill mentioned, the last plan was done in 2006, and then before that it was 1998. So the document covers the sections shown here, and the real basics are to cover kind of existing conditions in the district, both the study area, documenting supplies, the pipeline network, and, you know, facilities, and also document system performance criteria for both storage and fire protection. But really, the meat of it looks at the future conditions, build out land uses and water demands, and then the storage needs and facility planning, kind of covering these sub-bullets shown here at the bottom. And you know, Bill mentioned, you know, what's different between this plan and others, and you're probably familiar with the periodic urban water management plan that comes up every 5 years. The next update of that will be started towards the end of this year. And the urban water management plan really focuses just on demands and supplies and how they change over different hydrologic conditions and making sure your supplies meet your supplies to future demand. It does not address facilities or costs in any way. Okay. Next slide. Thank you. So what's changed since 2006? In the district's area, you know, there's been slower growth, slower pace of development than was kind of expected in 2006. And also, water demands have kind of gone up and down, but you can really see that they've stayed fairly constant overall. In the graph on the right, it shows the total water supplied into the system from 2006 to 2019 in million gallons. And there's been some, you know, increases. There's been some dips due to the recession and various droughts. But really, the 2006 and 2019 dates have amounts have really basically ended up at the same point. Also, looking at groundwater, back in 2006, the document, you know, there was no groundwater in place for the district, and you know now there's you've supplemented supply for reliability purposes with two wells, and you know we're planning for the future to have two additional wells, you know, based on timing of need. And also, you know, working in coordination with the groundwater sustainability planning that's going on. Okay, next slide. So here we're showing information that we use to develop the water demand projections. These slides, these graphs here show the unit water demand that we used from both the 2006 plan and the 2020 update. So that's unit demand for in gallons per day per dwelling unit for single family and multifamily uses, and then gallons per day per acre, commercial, institutional, and then parks and landscaping. So in most categories, you know, there's been a drop in demands from 2006 to 2020. So we use these factors and then future build-out land uses to come up with our demand projections. Okay. Next slide. So here we're seeing our demand projections for the entire system. And we've shown a few things on this chart. The solid squiggly line is the same total water supplied that I showed on a previous chart, 2005 to 2019, and it shows, you know, the kind of dips from recession and drought. The higher dashed line is the previous water demand projection out to build out in 2040 from the 2006 plan, starting at about 4.6 MGD of the real data in 2005 up to 17.4 MGD in 2040. And what our plan, this plan in 2020 has done is we've projected, you know, estimated the lower dashed line, the green line, starting in 2017. That was the first full year of data that we had when we started in 2018. And we're projecting now only out up to 12.5 MGD by 2040 conditions. And one thing I wanted to note, I know there was there's a question as the board was reviewing the document about in the demand section about the total usage percentage of usage by residential customers, and we're going to clarify some of the terminology we use there to make it clear that currently and as of the 2019 data, the proportion of residential use as a portion of total customer use is really about 85%. But when you factor in the loss in the system, when you compare it to actual total water supply in the system, it's only 77%. So there's a little terminology fix that we need to that we're planning to make in the document to make that clear. Okay, next slide. So based on the evaluation of demands and needs for the distribution system and our hydraulic analysis, we have several kind of takeaways here about the differences, changes from the 2006 plan or your most recent FRC update. Future expansion of Randall Bold, we only need a capacity increase of 5 MGD rather than 15. So that's an improvement, and you'll see that leads to lower costs. Also looking at future storage, we've assumed that a portion of groundwater well supply will be able to meet emergency storage needs. Based on our change to demands, we see that reservoir R4 is no longer needed, and we've been able to reduce the needed reservoir capacity in the East Cypress Reservoir and the Bethel Island tanks from down to on East Cypress only a 5 million gallon tank on that portion of the reservoir. And then 4 million gallons for Bethel Island instead of 4.6. Looking at future.
I'm sorry, you cut out there for like about 10 seconds. I think I can see that there's people that have their mutes not on. If you're not speaking, can you put these mutes so I can hear?
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of background noise, but I'm not sure if that was just me.
Thank you.
Okay. Maybe I'll just go at the future pipelines here. We've added some improvements for redundancy and also increased reliability with a parallel crossing of Dutch Slough, a second pipeline from two tanks R2 and R3, and then a second pipeline from Randall Bold to the distribution system. And now Bill will talk about some more of the improvements.
Okay, so the slide up right now is showing, again, the layout of the ultimate system. You'll see that I think as compared to the previous version presented a month ago, we're no longer carrying R4 as a new reservoir in the lower left-hand corner. Otherwise, there really aren't a lot of changes to what was presented last month. We're still showing the area that's anticipated for a new pressure zone in the Carpenter Road area. And again, that zone is going to be a topic of future discussion amongst the board, I'm sure, as well as needing to get discussion amongst the inhabitants or the residents in that area, because they will be needing to, fund or pay for part of the improvements that will be required to construct that zone or to form that zone through some additional fees that will not be distributed to the other residents in the other part of the district's operating system. At least I understand that is the plan for right now. The figure also shows some of the improvements that are planned for new pipelines, which will be funded as partially funded and installed by developer growth. And that includes into East Cypress area and onto Bethel Island should that ever expand. The plan there is to put in a perimeter road or a perimeter pipeline on the roadways in that area, as well as to provide some additional pump stations and reservoirs for an increase in demand there. Next slide. So this all brings us all the studying and all the revisions to capacities required and sizings of treatment plants, pump stations, reservoirs, brings us down to the bottom line, which is being able to help the district financially plan for the potential of these new facilities should they be needed. And traditionally, many of these facilities have been partially or all funded through the FRC, which is a funding mechanism which utilizes developer connections and other new connections onto the systems, onto the district systems. The next couple slides will show a comparison of what is shown in the 2020 facilities plan compared to the last time the district adopted an FRC pricing structure for those connections, which is in 2018, shown on the left-hand side. And so the treated water supply elements, really the 5 million gallon expansion is similar to what you saw in 2018. The increased price here shown in 2020 for treated water supplies is both a part of inflation of the costs associated with the expansion, but also some of the additional costs that Dan mentioned earlier on a previous meeting that are associated with Contra Costa Water District's planned upkeep of many of the existing systems at the Randall Bold Water Treatment Plant. And that's in order to maintain the existing capacity at the treatment plant through replacement of chemical feed pumps, replacement of chemical feed systems, replacement of aging electrical infrastructure, and such items. Second item is groundwater supply. Again, it's the same number of wells as you have seen before with the same general capacity. But now the district is anticipating in its cost matrices that those facilities may require treatment in the future, and that should be planned for now with current budgets and future budgeting, as well as backup generators. Under the transmission capacity, that has changed just a little bit depending on some of the routings of the pipelines that are being adopted with this facilities plan, but also because of some additional new pipelines that were added in order to provide some of that redundancy that Andrea mentioned, both in the vicinity of the Randall Bold Treatment Plant, coming down from reservoirs R2, R3, and then another future redundant pipeline over to Bethel Island. The last item on this slide is the pump stations and storage, and that item has decreased to about half of what was previously accounted for in 2018, primarily due to the removal of the need for the R4 reservoir. Next slide. Some of the other items that are directly compared to 2018's FRC are the items shown there, SCADA, facilities plan and mapping updates, other growth-related management, and the increase in cost there is primarily related just to inflation from the 2018 efforts to the current 2020 costs. And then what are new would be the existing groundwater well upgrades, similar to what was discussed for new wells. The district is planning on adding treatment at the Stone Creek well due to the iron and the manganese increases that are seen there in its water quality, and also adding permanent generators at both of the existing wells. And then the addition of a new courtyard building was one of the latter items that we were asked to add to this table at a current estimated cost of $4 million to construct and to implement. An item, again, which is shown here, which is not part of the FRC subtotal because, again, it will come from a different funding mechanism, is the cost associated with developing a new pressure zone. The main items that we use for our cost estimating are shown here, again, with a estimated total of approximately $7.3 million for those new items. Next. Okay. And so, Andrew, you want to wrap up?
Sure. So, as Dan mentioned, tonight, we're going through our final draft of the facilities plan and are looking for, anticipating acceptance of that plan. Any specific projects and spending of, money for those improvements would receive, other more specific authorizations. And if under the assumption that there's only, limited edits to make to this document, we expect we can get the final copies out to the district by the end of next week, June 5th. Be happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, thank you.
Gentlemen, what's your pleasure?
I got a question. Did I hear the Corporation Yard was going to cost $4 million?
That is what our bond funding is for. The bonds were floated in the fall, so we have the money already allocated for the project. And we're working on final figures for the actual building. So some of those items will be coming in, in front of the board shortly. The architect, they haven't even drawn anything yet. We've done site visits, et cetera. But that was the amount of money that was approved in the fall bond refinance and new money portion.
Well, that seems awful high to me for a metal building, Dan. And what else?
Yeah, so we're looking at, right now without jumping into the full breakdown, because they're working on, real hard estimates right now, but we're looking at, it was around 8,000 square feet for training facility, office desk space for the field staff, and some storage for, the inventory and things, and then we're also going to have about, I remember right, around 4,000 square feet of shop space, about 3 to 4 bays with workshop benches and stuff in there. It also included, doing covered material bays, because right now all of our material is just sitting on the ground out there and trying to do stormwater compliance and best management practices on our spoils and sand and everything out there is pretty much very hard to do. So it's the building, it's reconfiguring anything we need to do to the facility to, ingress and egress, and also bunker storage for the material. And it was based off of, we had initial indications that, we're going to be in over the $500, it'd be 400, I think, per square foot.
Okay.
Yeah, 400 per square foot and a 10,000 foot building is $4 million. So that was what our planning was for on the bond proceeds. But obviously, this is all going to, come back to the board. And if we can come in under, we're going to come in under, because there's other projects that could be eligible to use the bond funding for. The main thing is that We use it on items that are, you know, 20 plus years in lifespan, and they fit within the budget. So if we come in under the $4 million, we certainly have other projects in the queue that we can line up for finance funding rather than cash funding.
Dan, does that also include the land acquisition related to the project?
Yes. Yeah, so it's land acquisition, it's architect, it's surveying, it's lot line adjustments. You know, we're going to be in it for a couple hundred thousand dollars before we can even, you know, get a tractor on site.
Okay, fine.
This is Director Singer. Just briefly, I just want to go on the record. I know it's not popular, but I definitely, as far as the courtyard is concerned, and I voiced it before, is I'd like to see it built so that it may operate as closely to zero carbon or carbon neutral as possible, just for the record. And then also, as far as the entire report, I was actually, I'd actually like to mention that I'd like to see us start thinking in terms of adding an energy component to this in some way, as we develop and are pumping more water, pumping it uphills and storing it. There are energy costs that are associated with the extra water that we'll be moving and keeping. There are innovative ideas out there that are being used in other water districts, and I think that we should, in our best conscience, move towards those ideas.
I'll just take 1 minute to address the energy component impact. There's, in the urban water management plan that's coming up, there is always a climate section in there, and I don't know if they've finalized if we have to do our entire greenhouse gas inventory, but it's not something that is too difficult to do. There's a lot of outside companies that are trying to, you know, win business for solar and other awards that we can actually get our greenhouse gas inventory done, obviously outside of this plan, and see what costs look like, and, you know, further the conversation outside of the facilities plan. But I definitely noted your two comments, Director Seeger.
That sounds good. Thanks for mentioning that. And I'm wondering if on a separate note, that the saltwater intrusion that we are going to be expecting in the next 20 to 40 years. Dan or Bill, are there any, I mean, we've got a considerable size of waterfront. Is there a discussion as to facilities that would, I don't know, mitigate anything at all?
So I think the biggest area there is going to be under the groundwater agency, and the groundwater plan is going to be looking at, you know, the hydraulic models and how water is going to flow, you know, not necessarily looking at just straight tidal influence and sea level rise, but it's going to be what's happening underground that we're, you know, potentially going to see more seeping of saline water throughout the aquifer. And as far as where we are, you know, looking at potential future well locations, they're pretty far away from any saline intrusion areas or, you know, causing it. So at a very high level planning area, we're not proposing anything that, you know, would be impacted or would impact the additional intrusion. As far as protection of our actual facilities, you know, we have corrosion control at most of our areas that we're concerned about. So we should be pretty resilient in that area, you know, when we're going underneath the levees and such, when we're definitely in, obviously, groundwater areas. There's additional seals and gaskets that we have on our pipes to ensure that we don't have any, or try to limit any potential for intrusion there. And I don't know, Bill or Andrea, if you want to taken any farther, if you've seen anything else the industry is doing from a design perspective, looking at saline intrusion.
Dan, nothing more than what you've mentioned so far that I can think of. Some agencies will look into putting more expensive coatings on some of their pipelines or some of their metal fittings, but the district uses these days so much PVC pipe as its main pipe component, lesser so steel pipe and other types of pipes. I think we would just have to continually monitor and watch what are the anticipated effects of any saltwater intrusion into the aquifer from the upcoming sustainability plan.
Yeah, and I think an important thing to highlight too is that we're always updating our standard for intrusion, and we've been a long way away from all the battles from the 80s, the bolts are working on, and that's non-saline soil, just pockets of soil are frozen. More information, we certainly can look, is stainless steel going to be enough, be it additional saline intrusion, we have to go to different higher epoxy coating and such. So I think right now for design standpoint, it might be whole. Too soon to know what the answer is, but we're keeping an eye on it. We'll be upgrading standards as needed.
So I know that there were some gems in there as to what you just said, but so much of it, and Jack tried to let you know too. We heard very little of what you said. I do know that you mentioned something about metals, and that's an issue with this saltwater intrusion. Can you just highlight what you just said? And then I also thought the groundwater injection as far as facilities, is that going to go on the Iron House facilities, or how's that going to work?
Okay.
I'm logging back in. I'm hoping I'm not getting stereo.
Stereo.
You're in
stereo, Dan. And now you're muted. Looks like Dan may be trying a different setup.
I am trying, but you didn't mean the material.
That's good. That works, Dan.
But it's...
You can't hear.
No, I can't hear, but when I'm right there, it gets you in stereo, so I'm going to step away. You're going to look at my empty chair for a minute so I can talk. But what I was talking about was that we are looking always at upgrading our standards for new design and construction. And so, in the 70s and 80s, a lot of the saddles that went in, we're finding that they're corroding and failing now. And so we've upgraded our current standards to help alleviate that. And I see that same thing moving forward, is we're going to keep an eye on what the industry is doing and how best to design for potential saline locations. Granted, it's not going to be throughout the entire system, but it'll certainly be in certain pockets.
Okay, are there any other questions on the plan?
Bethel Island, the line that's going to, that's supposedly or proposed to go around the island, most of the homes that are there that are going to be using them are already there and no developers. How's that going to be funded?
So on Bethel Island, hopefully this is better. It was not working when I was on my other phone. Can you guys hear me okay now?
Yes.
Okay.
Much better.
That's the best so far. Yep.
Okay. So Bethel Island, obviously Delta Coves is going to be paying as they're constructing, but the rest of the island, you know, we're working, trying to find state grants and state funds, because you are correct that as we progress around the island, they do need to pay the connection fee. They do need to pay for the installation of the water main. So anything that's happening out there that's already existing, either through a state grant, we're going to try to find funding, or should their wells fail and they have no other option, then they will be looking at connecting in. So currently, you know, we have up at the north end, we have M26 or Beacon West. We had ran our emergency line up there to connect them in. They were officially connected about a year ago. And then Santiago Island Village, we had a state grant for that right across the street from Delta Coves. And that is really a pilot project. We're trying to prove to the state that we can bring in these community water systems and disadvantaged systems and incorporate them into our system. So if there is state funding that it allows, we will certainly seek it, but it is not going to be, you know, we can't do it one homeowner at a time wanting to come in. It would be community water system by community water system on that island, which I believe there's roughly 10 or so community water systems on the island.
Okay, and my last question is about, so it looks like in the build-out that we are planning on doubling our groundwater usage. Is that correct for Oakley? I'm sorry, no.
Current 4 MGD to a total of 7 MGD is correct.
Okay. Okay, I don't have any further questions. Thank you.
I'll move for acceptance of the 2020 facilities plan.
I hear a second.
Well, I gave everybody a chance. I'll second it.
Thank you again.
Okay, Vice President DeFemery as the first, Director Crockett as the second. Roll call vote. Director Pastore.
Aye.
Director Seeger.
Yes.
Director Crockett.
Aye.
Vice President DeFemery.
Aye.
And President Hobbs.
Aye.
Passes 5-0.
Dan, just to be clear, do we need to make mention somewhere there about the potential for any minor changes still based upon some of those questions we had and answers we provided over this past week? Or is that assumed would be acceptable to the board's acceptance?
I think I'll reframe it and pose it back to General Counsel. As Bill and actually Andrea alluded to, there is one minor wording change we're making in reference to one page, one to two sentences. It's not material, and it was talked about in the presentation that was going to be done prior to the final document. Is the motion we had okay, or do we need to do a motion with amendments?
Well, I think it should, if there are going to be changes, they should be approved by you, and I think that would be sufficient.
Okay, current motion is good enough, or do you want that authority in the motion?
Yeah, it should be in the motion.
Okay, can Vice President DeFemery, can you remake the motion with the authorization for the general manager to make minor...
I will give you editorial privilege as part of the motion.
And do we still have a second by you, Director Crockett, on that?
Yeah, I'll accept that, certainly.
Okay, we'll redo the vote real quick. Director Pastor?
Aye.
Director Seeger? Director Seeger?
Aye.
Director Crockett?
Aye.
Vice President DeFrimery?
Aye.
And President Hobbs?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay. Next, item six, gentlemen.
Okay, so if I do start cutting out at any point, feel free to interrupt me. I'd rather not go on a tangent and have to come back to it, but I'll keep it as brief as I can since we've had some pretty good conversations leading up to this. You know, we tried to minimize our uncertainty moving forward when we were budgeting based off of the COVID pandemic and our potential accounts that are not going to pay or may seek forbearance. So far to date, we ran the numbers earlier today. Jen, I didn't run the numbers. Jen ran them, and we got somebody in the background talking. If we can get everybody on mute again.
Jeff Paulsner is says.
Hold on a second. Could you turn that down, please? Lisa, turn that down, please.
I figured it would be Jen or myself with one of our daughters running through our office first.
Problem solved.
Okay, so quick step back. I do want to acknowledge that Jen did most of the work on this. I know my name's there on top, but it really should be her name. She did the lion's share of it. Worked really well on getting through the assumptions, making as many adjustments and iterations that we could coming up to this. So our last budget adjustments or corrections for any new water demand information or potential cost changes or cost of living adjustments were current all the way through about last Thursday. So this is as current as we can get. We're looking at, you know, continued decline of per connection water demands, which jives with what Bill and his team were talking about. We are looking at, you know, adding that one additional field position, and that's going to offset the third-party contractor cost. So some directors picked up on that going through the budgets. For the cost of living adjustments, it's low this year, and it's really due to the pandemic we're in right now. Had it closed a month earlier, it would have been around 3% or so. So we are, you know, recommending a 1%. But one thing I will say is that I will keep an eye on it throughout the year because I don't want to find ourselves in April of next year if, you know, inflation and we're seeing grocery prices going up, et cetera. If we're going to be due for a large cost of living next year, I'd rather take a bite maybe halfway through the year. But as far as we're concerned for our budget today, we're looking at 1%. All the salary surveys were performed and adjusted as needed with the goal that I have myself, a plus or minus 5% of median. And then the other large shift was looking at labor and how much we actually account for the facilities reserve or fund O2. And Jen has allocated, based off of both of our recommendations and actual staff time spent, what amount needs to be allocated to fund O2, which is perfect timing because we were able to marry that number into the facilities plan. So within that total cost of bills talking about is also funding staff time for anything spent on the facilities fund side. So it's nice that we have in the same meeting budget and the facilities plan moving forward. Even with a conservative budget, we still have a lot of projects on the books. full well knowing that a handful are required that we can't forego. But if there's some that we can hold off, we're going to be conservative when we're, you know, when we're doing a replacement vehicle. We're not going to go out July 1st and do that. We're going to hold off as long as we can until we're certain really how the pandemic is going to be affecting water sales and consumption. And there's a few other items that we can, you know, in the budget that we can hold off throughout the year and stagger them in as we're more certain what the fiscal year is going to look like. Big engineering study projects, it's been alluded to tonight, the 2020 Urban Water Management Plan, that's a large one. And then the EPA Risk and Resiliency Assessment, that is kind of the first time since about 2003 when they were called vulnerability assessments, that we're going to have to go through and do those assessments. And they're doing them by size of agency, so we get the pleasure of not being the first ones out the gate. We are in the second batch, so we get to learn a lot from the agencies already going through this, and actually have a call tomorrow listening in on some lesson learned from other organizations. The replacement of the variable frequency drive of the courtyard and the relocation of the downtown 24-inch water main for the Amtrak stop. Both of those projects were in this current fiscal year. Neither one moved forward, so they are both being rolled over into fiscal year 2021. And so you'll see in the budget document write-up, it talks about coming in lower on some of our expenses. It's because we're rolling them into the next year. So it's not really a total net savings. It just did not move forward this year for timing on the Amtrak stop. And we had to... we're finding a new contractor for the variable frequency drive. We had issues with the other contractor and had to stop before we even got started. So you'll see an award come back through the board on that in the next couple months. Other than that, we had a new look and feel for the budget document this year. We had a lot more probably customer-friendly information up front so that, you know, if they picked it up, they might not be scared, which is numbers right up front. Tried to highlight a lot of our accomplishments that we had for 1920, even though we still have a little over a month left to do more things. We're able to fill this up with our year in review, and then highlight, you know, again what our goals are for the next year. And then as you guys are more accustomed to getting farther into the document, we have our service area map, a little description of our teams, of how we're broken down operationally. Your chart, which should look fairly familiar. And then what I wanted to chat on for just a second is, if somebody picked up this document, be it a board member or somebody from the public, page 8 pretty much tells the story is, where are we at the end of every year? Are we within our target fund balance range? Are we way over? Are we way under? And the way we've built the model over the 10-year is that we are floating right around the target reserve. We're always budgeting to be above the minimum and right about the target. And you'll see as we move out in the future years, fiscal year 22, 23, 24, we start getting a little bit of a higher fund balance, but that is because we're budgeting to start our mainline replacement projects starting out in 24, 25, you know, to the tune of $1 million to $1.5 million per year. And so really what we're looking at, though, is just the budget year, fiscal year 2021. We'll get bites at the apple for all those future years, but really gives you comfort in how the model's projecting moving forward. And then the bottom chart on that page is looking at our debt coverage ratio, and you'll see that we are coming in for our fiscal year 2021 budget. We've been on a declining debt coverage ratio, and we've actually in the previous been under our 1.25 minimum coverage ratio, and that is something we got dinged for, I believe, in 2018 and got downgraded on our bond rating to an A rating. And so you can see, though, the way we've budgeted moving forward, we are significantly over it. And, you know, to the tune of 3x, 4x, 5x coverage as we move throughout the year. So one of the things that we've listed as a goal that the management team has put together in the strategy document is, you know, to get ourselves bumped up to a AA rating by the time we do another bond package or bond refinance, which is, would be at least 3 years out before we'd be looking at refinancing our 2013 bonds. So I'll end there with the overview, and if there's specific questions or comments, I'm here, and Jen here is here as well. I don't know, Jen, if you would like to throw in anything that I missed on the high level there.
I think you covered it very well, Dan. I just wanted to say that I just wanted to acknowledge you as well. I think this document that is available to the public's eye now is very appealing, and I think it looks wonderful, and I appreciate all the time that you spent on it to help me out with the budget this year.
Thank you. So do we have any additional questions? I know that, you know, a lot of us, I got filthy questions this week, since you guys had this in your board packets, so you might be all feeling that you got all your questions out, but again, we're here if you have a question.
Hearing no questions, need a motion for approval?
I'll move for approval of the 2021 budget.
Do we have a second, gentlemen?
Pastor, I'll second it.
Okay, I have a first with Vice President DeFemery and a second with Director Pastor. The roll call vote. Director Pastor.
Aye.
Director Seeger.
Aye.
Director Crockett.
Aye.
Vice President DeFemery.
Aye.
And President Hobbs.
Aye. All right. Well, we get to hear you again, Dan. Discussion islands and reports.
I thought this was your guys' board meeting. Why am I doing all the talking? Well, I'll keep it brief because you guys have all had this for a few days to look at. The couple of items to highlight is our leak response. You know, we've had 23 water service line or mainline leaks this fiscal year to date. We've handled a majority of those in-house, but we've just been tracking these to date so we can get a better idea of how many we're doing throughout the year. And a majority of the failures that we're seeing, they are saddle. The bolts on the saddle are either rusting out and giving way, or we're getting breaks on the poly lines. So all this, we're getting more diligent about tracking our assets and where they're breaking, so that as Bill and his team put together our capital improvement replacement plan in a year or two, now we have real data to feed in and parts of town to realize where these leaks are happening and what the material is. And so when we have our electronic asset management program, we can really pull data rather than pulling it out of our operators' heads or trying to, you know, go pull hard copy files. So definitely doing our diligence there. The recycled water feasibility study, I'll bring that forward at the next board meeting. And the goal is we've narrowed it down to six alternatives for further consideration. And what we're going to be looking for, when I say we, it is the Diablo Water District and Iron House Sanitary District. We're looking for board input on which item or which alternative should be the preferred alternative that receives the full feasibility analysis. Right now they've, you know, done cursory analysis and costs on these six alternatives, but I will come forward with one or two alternative recommendations at the next meeting and talk that over with all the directors so that our consultants know which one to push all the way through the finish line on the feasibility study. And again, that is a feasibility study only. It's not approving any projects. It's so that we have a feasibility study done should state grant funding open up in the future, we can get our project in the queue for state funding. Update on Corporation Yard. As noted, actually an update since last week on bullet two there. I do have the site survey scheduled for the second week of June, and working with Jeff, and he's developed a sample contract that we've sent over to Iron House's legal to look at, and hoping we'll have something on closed session in June so that you guys can actually see all the full details. But there's been really nothing out there unexpected as far as the requests. And just for full disclosure, I know Director Zirkle is on the phone call from Iron House tonight, so if any of the directors have any specific questions about, you know, contract language or asks from Iron House, I can chat with you offline tomorrow or another day. And the groundwater sustainability plan, I know at the last board meeting I told the directors that I'd be bringing each of the draft chapters through our board prior to them going out to public comment. We had one of our staff members at the last GSP meeting, we had Nacho there, and he reiterated to the group my desire to be able to get these draft chapters in front of our elected boards prior to them going to the public. And the consultants that are running this plan and the other agencies felt like that was going to be an undue hardship on the timeline and actually put the timeline in jeopardy. So not to say that we were overruled, but at this point in time, it seems like the other agencies that are part of this are just going to be bringing it to their board for a one-time, closer to finalized version of it rather than chapter by chapter. But I'm still going to bring it to through our board, chapter by chapter. It's just going to be at the same time as the public is seeing it. So we'll be trying to weigh in behind the scenes and make sure we get, you know, what we perceive our policy stance to be on certain items incorporated in the plans before they go out to the public. But I was unsuccessful with being able to get them, get the chapters to the board prior to them going to the public. So I do apologize for any confusion by me saying I would do it last month. And as far as COVID updates, I think I alluded to it in the budget. We are not seeing, you know, an exponential increase in collectibles or accounts that would normally be turned off. We've seen it go up about maybe on average about $10,000 a month from, you know, the high teens to the low 30s, and now you know, minus one large account that got lumped in there, we're probably in the 40,000 range. And I did overhear staff making phone calls and stuff today, so our customer service team is being very proactive about calling our customers, letting them know, you know, it's better to make a minimum payment than to make no payment and let these things accrue over time. You know, we're not looking at a forgiveness. We're just looking at getting them on a payment plan. And so some people are making those minimum payments if they can to just try to keep that balance from accruing too high. And one item that was not on here, I got the call after this item went out, or the board packet went out, is the Burnwood Press, or the Oakley Press, will be running an article on Friday, and I don't know if it's going to be front page, below the fold, back page, but they called and asked questions of myself about, you know, what does the water supply year look like, what should customers be doing for conservation and such. So I just want to give you a heads up, there should be a news article this Friday, and you will me quoted, so I hope my foot is not too far in my mouth in the quotes. And that's all I've got.
Mr. Attorney.
Nothing other than the working with Dan on the contract with Iron House, and it seems like it should sail through.
Thank you. Bill, enlighten us tonight.
Well, again, thank you all for listening to us present the facilities plan again. I apologize if I stepped out there and caused a revote, but I figured I wanted to make sure that any of the changes that I anticipated we might be making were going to be done with the full authority of the board and Dan. So. On the agenda, Dan asked me to give a quick presentation or a quick summary of some of the work at the Oakley Logistics Center. I'll just say, if you haven't driven out Bridgehead Road in the last 3 weeks, it will look a whole lot different than it did for the last 10, 15 years, because there's like nothing out there now other than within the last week since I've been out there, they may have poured a heck of a lot of concrete. There's new building facility structures going in for the large warehouses and other units that are under construction. And the district has been directly involved in making sure that the existing water lines that ran northward through the property and then cut over to the east on Wilbur Avenue were appropriately and safely turned off and allowed for the construction crews to stop the lines in both directions. Both to the north and also to the on the line heading east, which gave them pretty much the middle property to do what they needed to for new construction. The most exciting was in the last couple weeks we've been working with the developer on making sure that we get the 24-inch pipeline, which cuts across the railroad and again trends northward through the property to make sure that that was safely stopped and cut and drained, and then have a blow-off set on that, which gives the contractor access to construction water. They will again have to repeat the process further south, closer to the railroad tracks, as a part of the future plan for the facility. But at least this gives them the territory they need to put in some of the first structures that they were wanting to construct before the rest of the pipelines get removed. So that was very interesting to see that happening, and I'm sure, again, that if you haven't been out there, it's very interesting to watch that work progress. We're currently reviewing additional improvement plans for the utilities, and it continues to be a work in progress, working with the developer and their engineer to make sure that the district's facilities are appropriately designed and located where the district wants them to be for the future. That's all I got.
Well, thank you very much. Any questions from for Bill? Hearing no questions for the engineer, we'll move on to comments of directors. Mr.
Well, I see my name on there, Howard.
I guess you must be first.
I'm not sure. I didn't hear you.
Go ahead, Ken. Give us an update.
Well, I attended the meeting through the computer again. And the highlight of the meeting was that CEQA approved the height of the dam on Los Vaqueros, so that's a good thing. And that's it on that meeting. And in our old manual, we had a page in there with all the directors' names since inception, and their length of term, and who took their places. And I thought it was quite interesting, and it ought to be made again available in our new manual. I should have kept it out of the old one, I guess, but I figured it would be automatically put in the new binder. But I'd like to see that put in the binder.
Yeah, we will certainly do that. I know Christine got together all the current directors' contact information, but I will make sure we get the historical timeline put together or recompiled again.
That's good. I think it's interesting. That's it.
Anyone else want to make a comment? Okay. I think it's done a great job on preparing all this information that we received tonight from all the people. Uh, CDM Smith, our general manager, our accountant, Jennifer. I just want to give all an attaboy. And that's enough for me. Anybody else?
I think you did a fine job, too. Good for you, Bill.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Hearing no other comments, we'll move on to the financial report.
That's my job. I make a motion we pay the bills.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Director Pastor.
Aye.
Director Seeger.
Aye.
Director Crockett.
Aye.
Vice President DeFremery.
Aye.
And President Hobbs.
Aye.
That was 5-0.
Go ahead.
That was it.
That was it. Item 9, anybody have a problem with the Board of Directors meetings coming up?
Looks good.
Fine.
Okay. Well, I guess the last one isn't on there, Ken. You'll have to take care of that.
It's just on the back side there, President Hobbs.
Oh. Well, not on my page.
No, not on my page.
Oh, it's on the official one online, so I'm sorry if it got dropped off of your guys'.
I'll make a motion we adjourn.
We have second. A motion. And we have a second.
Director Pastor.
I'll second it. Aye.
Director Seeger.
We're taking a line item vote on adjourning a meeting. I love it. aye.
Director Crockett.
Aye.
Vice President DeFremery.
Aye.
And President Hobbs.
Aye.
Well, thank you everybody for a nice evening, and look forward to you at some point us all getting back together and having a meeting in a common area. I know I saw some inside info today that the soonest potential update to the health order would be next Tuesday. There was no indication that there was going to be any change, but they'll definitely be saying no change in between now and Tuesday.
Okay.
So,
well, we'll look forward to the date.
I can hardly wait.
Yeah. Okay. Have a good evening.
Good night.
Good night.
All right. Thank you. Good night.